Good evening, Boomville. This is a boom of doom. Well, not actually doom, really, but well, I've got BJ with me, and he's the writer among us. So, how about you tell your version of this evening's events, BJ?
Well, it's hard to explain, really, in words. We got home. We'd been to Spearmint Rhino for the evening. And there was an odour.
Yes.
We noticed this, actually, when we stepped in the hall.
We did.
And initially I thought it was some kind of strange cooking or even a man-made polymer-based situation. So we got indoors and we sniffed around, and it was still there. Like it was following us, like a miasma. And for me, it smelled like, I think I said, somebody's, like, dog food. As if somebody's cooking pedigree chum tins of. Because I had a neighbour, and for a long time I thought she was a witch. And I thought she was cooking children. Because she would cook her boxer dog.
Doxer bog.
Yeah, she would cook her boxer dog food. She'd boil it in the saucepan. Mm. And it's probably bits of tripe and offal from the butcher. But to me it smelt like how I imagined a young child would smell. An orphan child would smell.
How old were you at this point?
I don't know.
A rough guess.
I don't know. Between 7 and 11, I suppose. I don't know.
Okay.
But I thought, that's the smell of cooking orphan. And even in my mind, painted an image of a young chimney sweep.
What?
Who was...
Tonight?
No. This
when
was
you
young,
were little.
Who was tasked to clean her chimney, and then she would tug him by his ankles, pull him down so he would, you know, crash into the fire grate. Then she would hit him on the head, butcher him, and cook him. But it wasn't. I learned when I was older, it was just dog food. And she's a lovely woman called Mrs. Thurlow. Lived with her daughter Betty for years and years. And her husband, Mr. Thurlow, was a train enthusiast. He was deaf and he had loads of books about trains. But one of the most fascinating things about Mrs. Thurlow and Betty's house was they had a piano. That wasn't that fascinating. But they also had a globe that lit up. And for me, being the young, intrepid soul I was, I thought that was fascinating and amazing and somewhat magic. And I also used to serve limeade, and it was bright green, and all the bubbles would go to the surface. And I was very close with Mrs. Furlow and Betty for years. We used to exchange Easter eggs and Christmas presents.
Even though you thought she cooked children?
Yeah.
How come you... What made you think she didn't cook you, then?
Because she had roses in her garden, I thought they'd protect me.
Really?
Yeah, she had a lovely rose garden. And over the road you had Harry and Betty. Sorry, Harry and Bennett, Mrs. Bennett and Harry. Yeah, I never knew her first name. Her husband was Harry, called him Harry Bennett. And we also called her Mrs. Bennett, but I never knew her first name. She was lovely, she had very rough hands, and she baked us cakes. And he was in India, in Madras, during the war. Anyway, I digress. It's a lovely story, but this isn't my boo, it's Fiona's.
Well, it was.
Sorry. Anyway.
You ate it.
Sorry.
For your dinner.
So this smell was pursuing us.
Into my flat.
Into your flat.
Yeah.
And then, when did it strike you? The sheer Hera. Hera? Horror. Terror and horror. Hera.
Hera. You quite like that. I was taking off my boots, and I happened to touch the bottom of one. Mm. And can I just warn anyone who easily kind of goes...
You may be eating.
Or if you're eating now, just...
Chocolate or something.
Stop listening. Yes, so I touched the bottom of this boot and there was something... I thought it was mud at first. And yes, it wasn't mud. It was something different. And that was the cause of the smell. And we don't know what creature this deposit came from.
It wasn't a fox.
It didn't smell like dog poo either, did it?
No, it didn't, because fox poo is really, really pungent, and I know that from anywhere.
Mind you, this was pretty pungent, but in a different way.
I would suggest, being scientific, that it was probably dog poo, but old dog poo.
Because
it didn't have a fresh smell.
I feel even worse now.
I think it was old.
Oh, yuck.
So I think you'd trod on an old deposit.
Oh, that's disgusting.
But the most horrific thing, really, is we kept on finding bits of shalageshle around the flat.
Yes.
We, you know, as one, you know, no Easter egg hunts. You go around, you pick up Easter eggs. Tonight, yeah, I went around picking up bits of shit.
Yes. Which is remarkable. Very nice.
No. Anyway, it's Easter tomorrow.
With chocolate. Yes. Oh, but yeah. What do people, if anyone blind is listening to this, or sighted, if you have suggestions, what do you do? How do you work out where the...
You just have to clean the whole carpet.
Where it's gone.
You just have to really get a carpet cleaner, give it a good hoover and a good go over.
Yuck. Yeah, but then you might get it in your hoover.
Yeah, but if you feel first with one hand where you're hoovering, like I do.
Yeah.
Because I hoover, I don't know if anyone else does this, I'm sure they do, I hoover on hands and knees.
Well, yes, so because
I'm always repenting. So one hand is going...
What, for the sin of making a mess?
Well, just for sins in general, right? So one hand is stretching forward as if looking for supplication and forgiveness from the Lord. And the other hand
stuff on the floor.
Or just stuff on the floor. And the other hand is holding the hose.
Yeah.
So you will find it with one hand.
And hold the hose with
the
other.
Hold the hose with the other.
Okay, good.
Feel free to insert your own joke at any point, anyone. But I don't know. I don't know what you do, really. The smell's gone, but the problem is with stuff like that, you probably grind it into the carpet. Grind it. To bake your bread.
Oh, disgusting.
But no, it's a lovely boo, this.
Isn't it just?
So she's talking about something nice, like chocolate and what's your favourite Easter egg? And are they the same as they used to be? Because I don't think they are.
Do you not?
They're all package. They're all package.
Meals were, weren't they?
Yeah, but seem to be more package now than ever.
Really?
Not sure if they're still the same bright colours.
I don't know, but you can't see them. It doesn't mean they're not there.
Well, I can't see them, so they're not so bright.
It's like God. You can't see God, but it doesn't mean he's not there.
It does.
Okay, but I don't agree.
So, as a child, my favourite Easter egg was a Yorkie because it was the shape of a lorry.
Was it?
Yeah.
Egg be the shape of
the box.
Okay.
And the egg was inside it. And I like a Yorkie. That was a fun thing to have. And talking of which, there's a connection here, you see. Mrs. Sterlo bought me my first Yorkie Easter egg.
Poor woman, coming into your shitty, this boo about shit, and there's a connection with her.
Yeah, but...
Is she dead?
Yeah. She is.
Because otherwise, Betty she might isn't. Have heard it. And stuff, and it would be a bit sad, really.
Yeah.
She might be upset.
What's your favourite Easter egg as a child? Toblerone's good too.
No. But I just like Buttons one.
Oh, they're nice. I remember one year, we had a relative staying with us, and I said, I don't want an Easter egg, I want some Lego. So, no, they said they'd do that, so I was really pleased. So, went to Woolworths in West Drayton. Or West Jayton, if you prefer. And we went into Woolworths, and Woolworths at the time was a thing of delight. It had, like, Star Wars figures and Lego, two of the best things man has ever invented. Not so good as Easton's or Zodiac, which were my two favourite toy shops, but it was okay. And I saw some Lego, and I thought, they're going to get me that. Really good Lego, really good Lego. So they said, we'll be a surprise, you know. You know, we know what you like, because you've shown us, we'll be a surprise. So the next day, Easter Sunday, I presume it would be, I got an Easter egg from my mum and dad, and my grandma and granddad, who were then breathing. And they said, here's your present. I got it. Lego, oh, yes. Which set have they got me? Because I pointed all these sets I wanted. And it was smallest you can imagine.
And what? So what ones did you point it at?
Spaceships, and castles, and I got, okay, get this, I nearly cried. One solitary knight, Lego knight, on a white horse. The smallest, most loneliest figure you could ever imagine.
Yeah, but maybe they didn't have much money, though.
Don't make excuses. I will never forgive them.
Why not?
And I have another disappointment about Lego. I remember once, one Christmas, my mum's sister, my auntie Katrina, she said, what do you want for Christmas? I said, can I have this, please? And I showed her it in the Argos catalogue, no less, so she can even see it.
So you could still read
the Argos. I could see. Oh, yeah, I was only about 9, 8. And it was a spaceship, space Lego. It was a really, really cool spaceship. And she said, oh, I'll get you that. So I thought, ah, oh, Bonza. I didn't say Bonza. I didn't know what it meant then. Didn't even know it in my vocabulary.
Bonza?
Something akin to that, like,
what's Bonza?
Jolly good stuff and whatever I said. So Christmas came.
Bonza.
And I had a big box wrapped up.
I've heard of the Bonzo Dog Doodah band, but it's not quite the same thing. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Sorry, I had a big box from her, from Katrina. She's lovely. She's dead now. She's lovely. Mm. My mum's younger sister. Mum's only sister, actually. And I opened it and I was full of excitement, anticipation. It's been a great Christmas so far. I'd had an AT-AT and I had Star Wars figures.
You'd had a what?
AT-AT. It's a thing from Star Wars.
Okay.
I had Star Wars figures and Lego. And because I was sad, I had videos about marine life as well.
Okay.
And because I'm sad, I had books about castles and stuff as well. Best ever. I got this box. Oh, I'm really excited. And it was only bloody a Lego frigging cottage. And I was crushed like a petal. And when she phoned me, she said, do you like your present, Herb? Whatever. I said, yeah, it was lovely. But why did you get me it, Katrina? Well, it wanted to be a surprise. It was a surprise. And that made me sad. Anyway, what were we talking about? Dog poo.
Yeah, ages ago, yeah, somehow that had something to do with
dog poo. Used to be white.
What do you mean it used to be?
I remember when I had vision before it was taken from me so cruelly by the Inquisition.
I don't have a violin here anymore.
I broke it, I think. Dog poo, I'm sure, was white. If anyone can back us up, well, me, Fiona's like, whatever. You know, it was white.
It's just quite amusing the way you said dog poo was white, as if you've lost your sight and therefore it's going to have changed colour now.
No, really, it stopped being white years ago.
The day you couldn't see it anymore.
The day the colour died. No.
I'm sorry about the violin comment, that was a bit harsh, wasn't it?
It started going, the colour of poo started going from white to whatever colour it is. From probably the 90s onwards, because in the 80s it was white.
Right, and what colour was it in the 90s though?
Just kind of greeny brown, depending on the age.
What?
Yeah.
How did that, what?
I don't know, ask the chaps.
Okay.
Simon will know, he's our age. A bit older though, maybe.
I was going to say, speak for yourself.
Okay. He's a bit older than me, and
he is, yeah.
But he'll know. He's probably busy now, but you know,
he's doing Eastery stuff, I expect, his family. But
egg hunting and jovial activities. Yeah. I had, how many hot cross buns have you had so far? This is a general Easter boo, by the way, it does seem, doesn't it?
Well, it kind of wasn't. It was about dog shit.
Sorry, do you want to shut up?
Well, we've done this Easter thing now, so
it's on a roll now, you see.
No, it's not a roll, it's a bun. What? That was actually BJ, everybody.
How many hot cross buns have you had so far?
Me?
Yeah.
One and a bit.
Oh, yeah. I've had 11.
What, all in one sitting?
I could though. No, the best one, though, thus far. The Tesco's one was okay. Sainsbury's are okay. Waitrose was nice. But the best one was a homemade one I had the other day.
The one yesterday?
Yeah.
At someone's house?
Yeah. That was really nice.
That was nice. And I hadn't stepped in dog poo at that point.
No.
Because that would have been really embarrassing. Imagine that. Oh, dear.
I noticed from the church thing regarding eggs, they're going to roll the eggs towards the children, are they?
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you think they'll roll some towards us as well?
I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
You suddenly turned into John Major.
I don't know.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
Because I go to research to church for research purposes, not for worship.
You go because you like the music.
The music.
Really?
And, you know, I dress up and things.
Dress up? No, you don't.
Anyway.
I do, though.
Do you? Oh, yeah, you wear your cassock.
I wear a cassock and then a thing on the top, which reminds me of a nightie. It's like a big dress.
And nothing else.
No. And I wear stuff underneath it. Obviously, my normal clothes that I've already got on. So there's the cassock, which has got buttons all down the front. I think it's red, but I don't know.
Probably, yeah.
And then we all have a cravat on as well, so that if we've got collary stuff underneath, it doesn't show and we all look the same. All the choir, this is. And then on the top of that, we wear this nightie thing, which is white.
And a bowler hat.
No. Apparently, though, someone was saying yesterday, I don't know what colour they were, but apparently the choir used to all wear hats, the ladies.
Really?
Yeah, and then one of the sopranos hated them so much she threw them away.
Wowzers. I never wore a hat in a choir. Obviously wore bow ties and handkerchiefs and pins and badges and stuff, but...
We wore roses in the choral society Christmas, before Christmas.
Oh,
not real ones, but...
Fake. Shouldn't that poppers?
They're quite nice, though. No. Mm. No, it wasn't a Remembrance Day thing.
Okay.
Yeah, the choir used to do that in the church I used to go to.
Mm.
In Worcester. They used to wear...
Talking of mythology...
On the road. Oh, we had palm crosses the other day.
Giving one of those.
On our robes.
Don't know what the hell to do with it. I was giving one. I was like, what? Talking of Easter and mythology, do you believe in the Easter Bunny?
Believe in it.
Because you believe in mythological things, so believe in the Easter Bunny.
Well, when it's in front of me made of chocolate, then yeah.
But do you believe in it, the real thing?
I've never really known much about the real thing. Are you going to tell me?
Well, don't deliver Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was used to get Easter eggs, so yeah, must be real.
Did your mum and dad keep up the myth like it was an Easter bunny, or did they just...
No, they just gave us Easter eggs.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did yours?
No, it's... it's around spring equinox, so it's Anglo-Saxon goddess and Ostara and things personified as a bunny. That's a hare, actually. Easter hare.
Hey!
Spring hare.
Can we ask that question I was asking you about last night?
What?
Personified.
Yeah.
Can you say personified when it's a bunny and not a person? Because surely personified means personified.
If you can have... Okay, the hare...
Yeah.
...is a personification of a goddess.
No, you can have, can't be.
You can have
it's
something...
It's a hareification.
You can have something personified as a human or an animal.
Right. Well, should we see what the Boomville thinks about
do.
It too?
Yeah.
Well, we might as well have an... You know, have another strand to the whole debate get some nice comments.
I'm going to tag this, mind you.
No, I don't really, but anyway, never mind. I'm sure I'll think of something.
Yeah. Because the whole Easter Bunny thing got mixed up with the spring hare thing. And like the hot cross buns, that's a Roman thing. It's a cross-quarter ceremony, so they gave buns representing the quarters. So that's all tied up with people just saw the cross on the bunnies and just assumed it was Christian. It's like the whole Christian Easter's been basically, you see, spring equinox and the return of the light.
Which is good. And so is chocolate.
But it's all Mithrasian stuff. Chocolate is good. Yeah, chocolate is a lovely thing.
We've got lots of chocolate at the moment.
I know. Yeah.
And we're not telling you where I live, so you can come and get it, because it's ours.
A question to our American and Canadian friends.
Yeah?
We all know, okay, we're not saying anything you don't know, that American chocolate is absolute guffage.
Guffage.
So do you guys get... Sorry, I'm shouting. Do you guys get I mean, Cadbury's chocolate isn't amazing, but at least it's a tiny bit better than Hershey. Do you guys get Cadbury's Easter eggs and Easter eggs from this end of the pond, side of the pond?
Like, or do you get black, nice European ones?
Do you get Lindt? Do you get green and blacks?
Lindt's gorgeous.
Green and blacks, Lindt. Yeah, do you get Italian stuff that we get? Or do you have to have American stuff that's really just soap disguised as chocolate?
Oh, I heard an audio boo the other day, and somebody was trying a vomit-flavoured sweet and was nearly sick.
That is pretty rough. Who tried that?
Someone in America.
Golly gosh. Because I know our friend, our good friend Gwentleyan. Hello, Gwentleyan.
It wasn't her.
No, no, I'm just saying she bought her...
She's not in America anyway.
She's in Canada.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
bought her grandma, granny, I can't remember, some Cadbury's mini eggs.
They're nice. We've got Cadbury's mini eggs here. So we bought us some in a tube.
Gwentleyan can get those. I wonder what else.
Yeah, but Gwentleyan does imports and stuff.
But to be fair, she went to the shops, her local shops.
Oh, did she? Yeah, got them there.
The boo.
Oh, maybe they have more English stuff though in Canada.
Canada.
Where's Canada? I've just made it up.
Left of Canada.
Yeah. It's the extra bit that no one except us knows about.
Yeah.
Maybe
they have more English stuff than America.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they have the Queen. It's a Commonwealth country, isn't it, Canada? So they have the Queen.
The Queen, do they?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Terence and Philip.
Terence?
And Philip.
Who's Terence?
The South Park characters.
So, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant Philip, like Prince Philip.
Ironically, Prince Philip is worshipped in a small South Pacific island.
Oh, I heard that. There was a story about it on the radio.
Yeah, that's really funny. That's
really weird.
They don't know anything about it. Oh, Prince Philip. Well, they don't speak like that, but if this purpose. So they've got posters of Philip and everything, and which is ironic because he's a casual racist and an idiot. But it's hilarious, I find.
Isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
She's Canadian, isn't she, Alanis Morissette?
Yeah, she is.
Okay, Canadian. This is all making sense. We should have run a podcast.
What do you think?
This is better than anything you listen to. This is a podcast. We should. Because we can make things connect. Who can connect dog shit with Alanis Morissette? Or Prince Philip? Or Easter eggs? No one.
Well, yeah, because we did.
Roll over... Those people who are pretentiously beavering away and doing serious podcasts. This is worth listening to. This is audio platinum. Not gold, platinum.
Why platinum?
Pardon?
Why platinum?
It's more expensive and rarer and more precious than gold.
Precious!
A platinum ring will cost you more than a gold ring.
Would it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. What about a hula hoop?
No, they're just... What flavour, though? Plain. Has to be plain. Cheese are weird. Salt vinegar are okay. Barbecue are okay.
Yeah, I like those. Even though I'm vegetarian. Still like them.
What's vegetarian got to do with it?
I don't know if I would anymore.
Hula hoop isn't an animal. Plain ones.
Is it not?
No.
Oh.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore?
No.
So it wasn't hula hoop shit.
What's everyone going to do tomorrow, then? Because, you know... We were going to go to the Vigil church early.
We were, and then the bus stop was, we're not sure where the bus stop is.
Mm.
And it's kind of expensive to get a taxi.
And it's really long.
It is long as well. And really... Shut up! And it's also really early to get up. So
we're going to the 10 o'clock.
We're going to the 10 o'clock though, aren't we? Yes. Yeah. And I'm singing in it.
Yeah. And we're going to come home and we're going to watch stuff on telly, or if there's anything on telly, and if not, watch a film.
Yeah.
And eat chocolate all day.
No, we're going to eat something nice too.
But chocolate is nice.
Do you know what we should have bought though?
What?
We should have bought some of those, like some vegetables and some Yorkshire puddings and roast potatoes that you can just put in the oven.
Yeah.
We could buy some tomorrow, though, because Sainsbury's would be open.
What are we going to cook with it?
Well, You can have corn things, or we could get you some meat.
I know, but to be fair, that nice cannelloni is eating.
It does, but I just thought it'd be nice to have a nice Sunday dinner as well.
Be easy to eat in my house.
Yeah, but if they're ready-made things, you just stick them
what,
in.
What, like Aunt Bessie's stuff?
Yeah.
If you want to, we'll do that. Where's open?
Sainsbury's is open because I asked the man.
Okay. But I don't want to waste that pasta meal, though, because it costs a lot of money.
No, well, it's in the freezer, isn't it?
No, in the fridge.
I can put it in the freezer. But anyway, that's boring for the boom bill. But no, it's just
I've got garlic bread will last. That's in the freezer.
Yeah, no, it's just my idea about.
All right.
Tomorrow.
We could do.
Because you're talking about Sunday dinner, although you really want the meat, don't you?
Well, I want a leg of lamb.
How do you cook a leg of lamb? Do you?
You put it in the oven.
Just
you put
with foil on it.
What I do? No, this is what I do with lamb. Excuse me for getting intimate, ladies and gentlemen, because me and lamb are intimately acquainted.
Stop being disgusting.
Sorry, I'm not being disgusting. I like lamb. I rub
Maybe
it.
You did that sort of sex voice.
With sex voice.
Yeah.
I rub it.
Sex voice. I'm a sex voice.
I rub it with garlic and rosemary.
Yeah.
I wrap it in foil to keep it moist.
Yes.
Then I place it in the oven.
On a tray, presumably.
And maybe put a tiny bit of olive oil on. Yeah, on a tray.
Okay.
Mm.
All right. Calm down.
We should call this our Easter special because it's been a longest boo, and it's all about. It's been a special boo too. It hasn't been about dinners or meals or restaurant reviews or not being out and about. It's been a special bumper Easter boo. Yeah. And if you liked it, gentle folk, do give us feedback. It's always, always appreciated, isn't it, Fiona?
In that voice.
What can I say?
It's always, always appreciated.
It is. What? It's always appreciated. No, we want to know. We want to entertain
this
you.
This is Late Night Love with Graham Torrington.
Oh, Graham Torrington. Wow. That's a blast from the old
pop. Well, actually, he's on local BBC late at night these grief. Days.
I remember when that, what's he called? Jezza's Confessions.
I don't remember that.
Don't you?
No.
Do you remember the guy, what's he called? He's on television. Jeremy Kyle. No, Jezza. One of the two. On radio. Anyway.
What? Who? What?
So if you liked our conversation tonight, please give us feedback.
Not that we're desperate at all.
No, not desperate, but I like
please
to...
Please give us feedback. No, please as in... talk to us, we're so lonely.
No, it's not that. I just like... Making I like to think, my city, creative...
It, this is the sofa, just
it's not, it's
no.
a bed.
It really isn't, stop it.
Anyway, I like to know that my creative juices are leaching into the proper places, so... As I just said, it's a creative.
Right!
I like to know, we'd like to know that our creative juices
are being basted. Don't involve me in this!
I'd like to know.
Nothing to do with me!
I'd like to know that my creative juices are basting the right.
Stop! Please stop.
What can I say then to make it feel right, sound right, be right?
I don't know. It's so wrong.
I'd like to know if you're enjoying this. Because if you're not, I'll go to that monastery. I promised you. Or better still, nunnery.
Yeah, you'd enjoy that.
Well, you know.
You are so wrong. Oh dear.
And tell me, ethically, if you were to steal an Easter egg from a young child, would that be stealing?
Yes.
But if it's so quick he doesn't get a chance to cry?
Yeah, but he might cry afterwards when you're not there anymore.
Maybe you replace it with a chicken egg.
No. No, that's rubbish. You can't do that. What, have you got a child in mind to steal their egg?
No, although I had a plastic egg given to me the other day with stickers on it.
Did you? Where?
By one of my nieces.
Oh.
And when you have a gift from a young child, right, it's a really hard thing to do because you've got to show appreciation and enthusiasm. Yeah? But sometimes it's really difficult.
It's a shame I wasn't there because I just do that by default.
Because it was actually rubbish.
Well, of course
the stickers were half coming off. There is no, you know, the composition wasn't very good.
Was it not? Was Was it a really second-rate piece?
It really was. The stickers were in a kind of haphazard way. There's no real arty flair. Although she's only three.
Well, so in that case, it's probably amazing.
I told her this. I sat her down and told her all this.
What? That there was no arty flair?
Yeah, the composition was wrong. She's got a bad eye for colour and it's all crooked.
And so now she'll need years and years of therapy and it will be all your fault.
I sat her down and told her this and she didn't seem to care. No, but in all seriousness, it's really hard to go, oh, that's beautiful. Now,
it though?
Well,
or are you just a bit miserable?
Do you prepare them for real life and say, well, that took you 2 minutes, what a waste of time, that's shit, right?
No!
Preparing them for real life?
No, you don't.
Or do you say, oh, sweetheart, that's bloody amazing.
Well, you don't do the whole pretending to cry thing, because that freaks them out anyway. Okay, adults aren't supposed to cry, they're meant to be the strong people.
How about just, oh, thank you, that's really lovely.
Yeah, that'll do.
So,
and give them a hug at the same time as well.
So don't they expect that then forevermore?
No, because there'll be enough people who are horrible and will burst their bubbles.
Just checking. So I have been an uncle before. I've been other things, but uncles are different.
So
because I've lived away and I've been a stepdad at some juncture. It's just different to being an uncle.
So what were you like as a teacher? Did you burst everyone's bubble as a teacher?
As a teacher?
Yeah.
I was an inspiration.
Were you?
I remember once, and this is true.
Right.
I did Sir Gawain and the Green Knight with them. Sir Gawain and the Green Knight?
I don't know that.
Okay. And I stood there in the front of the class and had them spellbound. Because I bought in an axe, a battle axe.
In the class?
The head wasn't very happy with, but I said it's teacher's learning, so I get over it. And
I bet you didn't actually say that.
No, I said it's learning, so get over it.
I bet you really didn't.
I said, it's learning, isn't it? And it was. So I brought this battle axe in, and I reenacted Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, and they loved it. And they understood it much better through me performing it than reading it.
And then someone killed somebody, and then you got the sack.
No one killed anyone, thankfully. But was I an inspirational teacher? Is that what your question was?
No, I'm asking whether you prepared the kids for real life and burst their bubbles.
No, I didn't prepare them for real life. I said to them, try to get good exam grades, but if you don't, it's like the end of the world, because there'll be other opportunities. I'm here to guide you and hold you by your hand and make sure you enjoy your school time and make sure English / drama / English is an interesting and immersive subject, and the key is creativity. So very well understanding what some dead bloke wrote, but you need to write your own stuff and feel it in your fingers and in your toes. Didn't say the last bit. You need to feel it. And I was a good teacher. And then there was the accusation.
What?
Well, I wanted to teach girls hockey and they wouldn't let me.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. You're quite right. So no, I love teaching, but I prefer writing more.
That's good, because that's what you're doing now.
Anyway,
so I'm glad you didn't burst lots of kids' bubbles though.
And if I didn't like them.
What, and then you were horrible to them?
Not horrible.
What kind of stuff did you say then?
You'll never be a taxidermist. Get over it.
You didn't though, did you?
No.
Because that's got nothing to do with English.
I was nice. I was nice. I was nice. I was a good chap.
Oh.
Why did you find it so hard to believe?
Because you were talking about preparing your niece who's three for real life. That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, that's kind of tongue-in-cheek, isn't it? It's entertainment value only.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you were saying it's hard to say things are beautiful.
Well, it kind of is, I think.
Anyway, I think we're kind of... This is getting a bit boring now.
It is, yeah.
I think... Are we boring each other now?
Oh, I'm not bored, but I'm sure the listeners are bored.
Maybe. Anyway, what can we talk about to finish with, to make it worth listening to the end of the boo?
Okay, pick a subject.
I'm stuck.
In the 60s, only 1 in 3 people had fridges.
How do you know that?
I just do.
Was it on the radio or something recently?
I can't remember, but I know stuff. And I that surprised me, because I thought that statistic would be relevant to the 50s. But as far as the 60s, that really surprised me.
Yeah, I suppose some people couldn't afford them, though.
No, they couldn't.
Or didn't maybe have electricity in the house?
I think they had electricity, but they couldn't afford it. They had larders still with marble to put the food on.
Marbles?
Marble. A marble slab.
Oh, they didn't play marbles with the food?
No, although marbles, there, now you're talking. Lord Elgin. And I used to love playing marbles at school. I used to swap them and play with them a lot. Do you like marbles?
Well, yeah, they were all right, but it was a bit of a visual thing, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Some of them were very pretty, though.
Mm.
Like globes of joy, like magical little things. Different colours sparkling inside them, and shiny ones and lovely ones.
I know people used to describe them. I used to wish I could see them.
Oh, I'm feel sorry for you now.
You don't have to feel that sorry for me.
I do, though, because colour is such a beautiful thing. I used to love colours.
Yeah, but I could hear things in music that other people didn't notice. So it's all right.
Okay. But no, marbles...
Which I know sounds a bit naff and sort of...
Talking of...
But I think it's true.
Neil McGregor wants to lend the Elgin marbles to Greece, doesn't he?
Does he?
Hmm.
Well, he won't get it back, will he?
Just for the benefit of others who may not know, Neil McGregor is the director of the British Museum. Arguably one of the best museums in the land. And,
I like Think Tank Museum better, because you can chuck water over people.
It's not really a museum, though, is it? It's more of an activity centre.
It's got... yeah, but it is called a museum. But it's good, because you can, like, chuck water over each other.
I've never been.
I'd like to chuck water over you there.
Well, you have to take me, won't you?
Yeah. And then I would record you screaming.
I wouldn't scream.
You would?
No.
You'd squeal.
So the ethics of archaeology is a really important question. Should we feel guilty about having the Elgin marbles, or should we return them?
Who stole them?
Lord Elgin took them from the Parthenon.
When was that? How long ago?
Oh, 18-something.
Oh dear, yeah, it's a difficult one.
It is. Will the Greeks look after it? Because their monuments are a bit, you know, falling into disrepair. Or they better trust it to the Britons who know what they're doing. Or is that racist?
Could be construed as such, yeah.
Oh.
Hang on, I'm going posh like you now.
Good. Anyway, I feel like a glass of wine and something to nibble on. So, reluctantly, I feel we must part company.
Not us two.
No, you and I
must part company with the Boomiverse.
With our friends.
Yes.
No, no idea how many there are. How many there are? Listen to this, do you think, roughly?
Probably all the way through, probably about 2 or 3.
Probably.
On a good day.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Never mind.
Because I wanted...
I didn't mean to just randomly shove the microphone in your face.
Because I wanted be on the radio at one point in my life, and I've been on the radio before. Talking about lots of things. Yeah, you have, lots of times. Last time I was on the radio, I was interviewed about one of my novels. But
when was that then?
Oh, it was about 5-6 years ago, maybe. It's really embarrassing.
Why?
Because I didn't like it.
What station were you on?
BBC WM, I think.
Well, yeah, that is embarrassing.
Yeah.
That station's embarrassing.
Yeah.
They all talk like that.
And I wish I had a talk show. I'd like that. But I won't. because wishes die with age. But this is my little fantasy. When I do this with Fee, I pretend for a minute that I'm on the radio and people are really listening to me. And
especially if I shove the microphone right in your face.
Lying there in bed under the duvet and just listening to me, talking and enjoying some of it. Because I won't ever be on the radio properly, you know, not like my own talk show.
You never know.
The closest thing I can get.
This is the closest thing to talk shows I have ever been. Feeling 22, acting 17. I've probably got the tune wrong. Apologies to anyone who knows it better than I do.
Does she do bicycles in Beijing?
9 million of them, indeed, really? Yes.
So when I go a bit, you know, nighttime radio voice, I'm not doing that for lascivious purposes. I'm doing that because if, remember the film The Fog?
No. I don't really know much about films.
Oh, we can sort that out. It's fine. Anyway, I'll say goodnight.
Good night. Oh dear, this is a very long boo. If you've got to the end, congratulations. Bye!